making my life miserable. I'm sorry I haven't talked to you in so long.
I mean, too, it's been one of those things where I'm in a crunch.
And I've been meaning to ask if you were okay.
Yeah, I've just been, you know, those things happen where, like, some things are running late and some things are on time, but then all of a sudden they're all at the same time.
Yeah, I've decided to make people wait in those situations.
Sometimes I have to. Like, it's all also compounded by, I've got a couple of long-term projects, like OGNs, that don't have, a fixed date for the batches.
Mm-hmm.
So I was shifting those around to accommodate the hot deadlines, and then now I'm kind of behind on my checkpoints with those. So I'm trying to get caught up with that. It's just, you know, it's work stuff. And then once I get past this hump, it's, you know, normal again for a while.
No.
Until it happens again. Like, it's just been, I don't know, frustrating, I guess, you know. Plus trying to keep up with, stuff that's not work.
Helping my parents. What's not work?
Well, helping my parents out with stuff or cutting grass or whatever. So anyway, welcome to week 985 of the Crankcast.
I'm tired of it.
I can tell. So
the guys are watching Wes Craven's New Nightmare.
Oh, that's the one that was like in the real world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember liking that one when it came out. I haven't seen it in a long time.
That's one of the better ones.
It was where they tried to go ahead and take the franchise and turn it, give it a twist, a new twist.
Yeah, it's like his Scream kind of stuff.
Yeah. At the time, I remember thinking it was, that predates Scream, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, this is his test run.
Yeah. I remember when it came out and I got it on VHS. And it seemed pretty, I mean, considering how low the franchise had sunk at that point.
Yeah.
It was a nice reimagining or a good new take on it. It was a little weird that Freddy turned into some sort of Native American demon, I think.
Is he?
I think that's how they explain him. He's some sort of a evil spirit of the land or something.
Hmm.
And that's why he inhabits dreams and stuff like that. But he took on the form of Freddy because Freddy embodied the nightmare at the time.
Hmm. I don't remember that.
Something along those lines. Anyway, I could be completely wrong, but that's how I remember it. Anyway.
I'm drawing a glaive.
Are you doing Krull?
I am drawing Krull adjacent.
Really?
I am illustrating a Joe Bob Briggs thing, and there is a Krull reference.
Oh, okay. What's the, is this for comics, or is this for other media?
It is for other media.
Oh, okay.
It is a book.
Sweet.
Yep.
I thought I saw something. Isn't somebody doing a Krull book? A new Krull book?
I don't know.
I mean, not that there actually was an old Krull book besides the movie adaptation thing, but I think that was one of those Marvel specials, wasn't it?
Yeah, probably.
I don't know. I mean, that's one of those weirdo 80s fantasy things that I just really dug.
Yeah, a lot of people do. I don't.
I think we've had this conversation before.
The coolest thing is the weapon. That's pretty much it.
It is pretty cool. Lizette Anthony was pretty beautiful in that movie, too. And it had some sad sequences, like when the horse drowns. Oh, wait. That's never ending story.
Yeah. You are thinking of a different movie.
Well, there is a horse that dies in that movie in a swamp, I think, isn't there?
I don't remember.
It's been a while since I've seen that movie, too. Maybe I should put that on. Watch it soon. You remember Mutant X?
I do.
I didn't really watch it much when it was originally airing. I remember catching it.
Well, yeah, I'll save you some time. It's just some people in black fighting in a hallway.
Oh, no, you don't have to save me time. I was leading up to the fact that I watched it.
Oh, sorry.
But I was giving a little background here to say that, like, I don't even think I knew it was a TV show until I moved to Chicago in 2002. And it was already, like, into its first season, I think, by then. Or into its second, maybe. And I would just catch it here and there on TV, but I never bothered to actually watch it. Because at the time, I don't even think I knew that Marvel was behind it. I just saw it and I was like, oh, this looks
What
like
did
it.
you think it was?
I just thought it was a X-Men knockoff. And after watching it now, I still think it's an X-Men knockoff, but
Mean,
it's a Marvel-based X-Men knockoff. And so I looked it up and I'm like, oh, okay, this makes sense because they had already sold off their rights to do media with the X-Men. So they, but they were trying to, that movie had come out, so they were trying to capitalize on that. And they're like, well, we can make up characters and just, well, as long as we don't call them these other things, right?
Yes, they definitely do that.
But there's like straight analogs, and there's stuff they did make up for that world that was.
Who is, I forget who the bad guy is who has that Andy Warhol thing going on.
Man,
What is his deal?
he was the. Well, he had some sort of like immune deficiency or something like that. So he was wearing like a fake skin.
Yeah, he looks like Andy Warhol.
Yeah.
Or who was the
His name was like the character's name was like Eckhart.
horror director? Oh yeah.
And he was like the he was the he worked at the same place that the Professor X analog worked at. This company called Genomax, and they're the ones that were responsible for most of the mutants. And they kept calling them New Mutants too, which I thought was funny. But so yeah, this company called Genomax. There were like other factions that also created mutants, but the bulk of them were created by this one company. And these two guys worked together, and the Professor X guy was like, you know, what we're doing is wrong now. It's being weaponized, you know, and stuff like that. And so he left and started rounding up mutants to keep them safe and also to form Mutant
Train
X.
them,
Like, and Eckhart was the bad guy. Like he saw it as, well, we've got to keep all the mutants under control and whatnot, you know. So he was like the, I guess he was kind of the analog of that senator that really wanted the giant robots.
Trask.
Yeah, he was.
Now, Trask is the one that made them.
Yeah.
Trask is a scientist.
Okay, so yeah, he's kind of the Trask analog then. Because he captures mutants, and if he doesn't think he can directly use them, he puts them in pods and freezes them. But the ones he thinks he can use, he puts this thing on the back of their neck that somehow governs their powers, which. How that works kind of changed over the series without anybody actually mentioning why. Because at first, all it did was like, it was like an inhibitor in that if you tried to use your power, you would get like a, it was like a shock collar. And you would just be disabled. But then somehow or another, it turned into a thing where they could actually control them. And but they didn't explain how that change happened, so I was kind of confused about that. And the show wasn't terrible. I mean, some of the episodes in the first season were written by Chaykin, which, you know, I mean, he's decent.
He can be, yeah. I mean, he wrote the Flash TV show too, though.
Yeah, but I like.
The old one.
Yeah, but I like that one too. I guess it's just that, you know, whatever you're, you either like it or you don't, I guess. I don't know. I mean, it wasn't terrible. By and large, it was just kind of boring.
Yeah, it's very boring.
And that first
It's
season,
like, hey, we watched The Matrix.
yeah, that's the problem. That first season, they, besides the, I mean, it's very of its time. Music, like the music background and stuff like that. But they were using these. Yeah, it's like they said, somebody saw The Matrix and says, oh, let's do all those moves with the fighting. So you had this like impossible hang time and stuff like that, you know. Which, I mean, in The Matrix made sense because it wasn't real. Like, That didn't make sense in Mutant X.
Well, they're superheroes.
Yeah, but like that, none of them could fly or had any like aerial lift power.
No,
So
it
like,
just makes you really good at karate.
and just sort of hanging in midair while you're kicking.
It's like when you're a vampire slayer, you all know karate. And all the vampires do too.
Yeah, well, I think it's genetic.
Yeah, it's a genetic thing.
Even though, I mean, you should train, but you probably really don't need to. Like,
It's like Superman.
yeah. But,
It's what they always say about Superman, but I don't.
plus the FX weren't, I mean, they were competent for 2001, 2002,
Yes.
but they weren't good.
No.
And they got marginally better, like, in season two, and they stopped doing all that matrixy fighting stuff. I mean, everybody still knew
Really?
karate, but they didn't do the like the crazy hang times and stuff like that, you know. The stuff where like they're obviously on wires kind of thing. But then it was just the problem, you know, like the first season story-wise wasn't bad. The second season wasn't great. They started out with like, 'cause like the first season was sort of Mutant of the Week kind of thing. And then they started out with the second season,
Mutant of the
yeah, pretty much, trying to do a like consecutive storyline across the first four or five episodes involving like the new bad guy,
Week.
because at the end of the first season they got rid of the original bad guy. Sorry, spoilers for 20 something year old show.
You've ruined everything.
I have. I'm a ruiner, Mike. But
You are.
then for whatever reason they wrapped that storyline up super fast and then went back to the more or less Mutant of the Week kind of thing.
Mutant of the Week.
And then at the end of the second season there was a cast churn. So they got rid of
Who's turned?
they got rid of the Professor X analog, and they got rid of the psychic, the Jean Grey.
I don't remember her. I just remember Sarge from Cleopatra and
Yeah.
the tall guy who is in every sci-fi channel movie.
The one that kind of looks like an underwear model.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they both did. The blonde one did too, but
Not as much as the dark-haired guy though.
yeah.
But they both looked like they were 90s models. Like, but yeah, so they got rid of the psychic chick and the, or the telepath chick, whatever she was. Empath, I think is what they were calling her, but she had other powers too, so I don't know. And yeah, and they basically killed both of them off, the Professor X and the Empath lady.
Oh, they killed him off?
Well, then in season three, they introduced a new character,
It was your mama.
I don't know how to say her last name. I suspect it's Cliche, but it's spelled like cliche.
Okay.
It was Karen Cliche or Cliche. I don't know how you say the last name. Which I she was in a ton of other, like, sci-fi and fantasy TV stuff, like later and whatnot. And I actually like her in other stuff. I didn't like her so much in this show. I didn't like her character very much. And she was some sort of like pyrotechnic light show power.
Empath?
No, she they didn't replace the psychic for some reason. They replaced her with this, like she could make herself invisible and she could like throw bursts of light and stuff like that. Kind of like a cross between Jubilee and maybe what was Gambit's power?
He can
Kinetically charge things?
charge things up with kinetic energy
Okay, so
until they explode.
wasn't like him. I'm trying to think of another, maybe like a bit of Cyclops, I guess, because she could use light as a hard force. But she could also like make herself invisible and stuff. So she worked with light, I guess. And then she comes in and she like takes over the team. And just the dynamic wasn't very good.
Oh, I think I do have some. I didn't watch it, but I do remember it being on all the time, so I may know what you're talking about.
Yeah, she's dark haired, like really pretty face, like striking eyes kind of thing. But yeah, the character, it was just, I don't know, stiff, super stiff, like. But then, partway through season three, then they not only bring back the original bad guy at one point, they also bring back Professor X analog, whose
character. What was his name?
I keep forgetting right now.
It was like Gideon or something like that.
So let me see. I'll look it up on this strange box in front of me.
Adam. His name is Adam. Yeah.
Yeah. And they bring him back. He faked his death, and he's been secretly working in the background, but now he's lost Mutant Nexus trust because he didn't talk to them for so long. But as they were reintroducing him, he was introducing himself to each member separately, but telling them to keep it secret. So they'd all met him at this point, and all knew he was alive, but they had never talked to each other about it.
Don't tell anybody I'm alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be annoyed with you, too.
Yeah. So they, anyway, so yeah, in that last season got, like, super violent, too.
Violent?
Well, like, just out and out killing people and stuff. Like, they were, like, when the original bad guy comes back, they trick him into doing something, like, taking this thing that he thinks is a cure for his condition, and it just kills him. Like,
all right, that's cool.
Yeah, it was really weird. And, like, just other things at different spots, they were, like, just straight up.
He was kind of a frail for a big bad.
Yeah, I think his major power was sarcasm.
Yeah. Looking creepy is what it was.
Yeah, that too.
Mason, I remember he pulled that stuff off his face.
Yeah, that was that. He had to wear that synthetic skin to keep his immune system in check or something like that. Forcing him, yeah, this is what Wikipedia says. His immune system had been severely weakened, forcing him to wear a white wig, synthetic skin, and thick gloves. Anyway. So, yeah, I watched it, and it's weird, because, like, you know, I was doing some reading on it while I was watching it, just, you know, figure out some stuff. And it's apparently still got a pretty big fan base. Like, even now.
Yeah, you.
No, I'm not really a fan. I just watched it to watch it. And like I said, it wasn't the worst thing I'd ever seen, but it's very, very dated now.
Yeah, it is.
I was surprised to see in the finale episode. Well, like, it wasn't really a finale because it was a cliffhanger. But I don't know if they didn't know they were getting canceled when they made it. But they actually used, like, you could tell it was a model of a building. Instead of doing, like, I guess a computer-generated one or, like, using a real location or something. It was
Well, they didn't do much computer-generated stuff then.
It was just funny that it was, like, an actual model that you could tell was a model. like, oh, boy, they were really cutting the budget
like,
for this.
Like, not a computer one, like something built out of cardboard.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
yeah,
something hand-built and, like, miniature so that the shadows weren't quite right and stuff. So it, that was pretty funny. I'm guessing they were just, I don't know, cutting the budget at that point, so they had to go with what they could.
I mean, it was made in Canada, right?
So, yeah, it's another Canadian show. Which
I mean, they all are, so you might as well, you don't even really need to say it at this point.
Yeah, so again, there was a ton of people in this that I've seen in a bunch of other Canadian sci-fi. And I know all this stuff isn't technically Canadian because I think it's like, well, this might have been a U.S.-Canadian joint thing, but I'm going to just go ahead and call any show that the majority of the cast is Canadian, I'm going to call that a Canadian show.
Well, you're going to have so much fun with Revival then.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm hoping...
I hope you recognize everybody.
That's exactly what I was just going to say. I'm hoping I'm going to recognize people.
Well, I can tell you, you will recognize some people.
Are you going to be on it?
Well, I don't know. I haven't been. I asked if I could. I don't think they want me to.
Oh.
I said I want to come visit.
And they said nope. They said, we'll talk about it. Probably.
No, they said they would.
Oh, okay.
But they didn't say I could be on the show.
Oh. Come on, you got to get your Stephen King on.
I would like that, yeah.
Just or your whatchamacallit? Stan Lee.
Yeah.
Except, I guess a Stan Lee role would require you to actually talk in it. Stephen King sometimes is just background.
I need to be in it. I tell you what, if I'm not in it and then I see Tim in there, I'm gonna mess somebody up.
What's the target date for that airing or coming out or whatever?
Next year sometime.
Okay.
It starts filming in like 2 months.
Awesome. Is that gonna be like a sci-fi channel thing or is that network?
At the moment, yeah.
Or streaming. Streaming.
Yeah. Probably both.
Yeah, there was another new show that I caught a couple of episodes of the other night when I was killing time before I went to bed. And it was it's kind of like those I Hate the Whatever Decade shows that VH1 used to run.
Yeah.
But it's got Bruce Campbell in it. It's called Discontinued.
Hmm.
And it's the premise is that Bruce Campbell's himself, playing himself, but he's in the year 2036 after AI's ruined everything and the world's nothing but a wasteland populated by robots.
Yeah.
And he's locked up in this bunker and he's got just all this stuff in the bunker and he's transmitting a message back to our time and somehow he's hired people in our time to do the actual segment parts.
Hmm.
His team of reporters is I think what he calls them. But and they just talk about things that were like discontinued. I mean it's all in the title right there, pretty much. But like things like I watched like maybe 3 or 4 episodes, so some of the stuff covered was like the show MacGyver.
Yeah.
Which I never knew that what's his name? Anderson. Dean Anderson? Whatever. He got the role because Henry Winkler saw him on an episode of Love Boat.
Oh, really?
When they were, like, casting for the show, and Henry Winkler saw that and said, I think that's our guy. Like,
Love Boat was still on the air, huh?
Yeah.
What? Wow.
Love Boat aired a long time. Oh, my God, dude. But, which is weird, because that show, I mean, you would have thought that premise would have been dead, like, in a couple of seasons.
Oh, no, it was on for like 10 years, wasn't it?
Yeah, something like that. But
Jim's here, so they're going to probably be pretty loud.
It might get loud.
It might get loud.
But yeah, so he's... another thing they talked about were like Furbies. And Blackberry.
Furbies?
Yeah, because Furbies were like insanely popular, and then they just kind of disappeared or whatever.
My aunt loved Furbies.
Really?
Yeah. My grandmother too.
I remember they talked. One of the things they talked about was how the U.S. government banned them from any governmental office.
Because why were they in the offices?
I don't know, but they banned them because they thought that they were spy equipment, or that they could be used as spy equipment.
That's not unreasonable, actually.
No, but I do remember that. I remember hearing about that back when they were running around Furbies. I also remember like reports of like Furbies talking to each other on the shelves in the stores. Like, and all of a sudden you'd have this just big wave of Furbies talking to each other.
Yeah, motion activated.
But like once you got one of them going, like the other ones would get into it. Like, I never.
Yeah, I mean that's what they're designed to do.
Yeah, and I didn't know, because I didn't buy one. I never had one. I didn't, like, to me, I was just like, that's kind of dumb. Why are people so into that? But I didn't know that they came with a book to teach you their language.
I did not know that either.
Yeah, that was just really weird.
Mm.
One of the people that they had, because besides the presenters doing the segments, they also have people that, like, comment on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, one of the people was like, why didn't they make it Spanish or something useful that I could learn? Like, why'd they have to invent some Furby language?
Right. Why didn't they?
I don't know. I mean, they could have made it like Esperanto. At least that would have taught you something.
Do people actually speak that?
I think there's a couple of thousand people that actually speak it.
Oh, I thought it was like a failed attempt at making like a universal language.
It is a failed attempt at making a universal language. But there are still like, I mean, there's probably more people that speak Klingon than speak Esperanto.
Yeah.
But maybe not by much.
Like Irish People speak Irish more than Esperanto.
Right, probably. I mean, especially because haven't they've made like a concerted effort to bring Gaelic back, right? Like in
Yeah, I
certain parts of
think,
Ireland, like
yeah, they have. I don't
signs
know
and
if they're still doing it.
but they was a, oh, and another thing like I had never heard of was Harley Davidson had a cologne slash perfume line. And one of the commenters had a funny line when she opened it up and smelled it. She's like, "This smells like sweat, oil, and domestic abuse." I was like, "Oh, that's kind of funny." But yeah, I never even knew they had that. And there was some adult burger that McDonald's came up with when they figured out that everybody thought McDonald's was for kids. Like a late,
Adult burger?
I think it was like a late '80s thing, early '90s thing.
That wasn't the McDLT, was
I can't remember what it was called, but it was like they were marketing it as being like the burger for adults. Like,
I think I remember that.
I didn't at all. Like, and
Was
it's.
called something really boring.
Yeah. And I think. And I don't. Yeah, I don't remember it, but.
What a dumb idea.
About as dumb as. Yeah, Harley Davidson making a cologne line. But,
Well,
Oh, and also some game show from the 90s for kids that was like set in some weird jungle temple.
yeah,
And it had like a.
Legends of the Lost Temple.
Okay, I had no idea what that was. I don't remember it at
I
all.
remember that, and I didn't even watch that stuff.
I just chalked that one up to being like a generational thing. Like.
Is. I mean, it's like people that are, I mean, barely, I mean, you're almost my age, but it was like the generation right behind us that watched that.
Right. Yeah, I just figured it was one of those things where if I did see it, it didn't really register because it wasn't in my interest range or whatever. Because it looked really bizarre. Guys in weirdo blank face masks coming out and grabbing kids and shoving them behind doors and.
It was sort of the like the what do you call it, the spiritual sequel to Double Dare.
Yeah, except creepier.
Yeah.
And I don't. I'm trying to remember. I can't really remember what else they talked about, but it was pretty funny. The episodes I watched were pretty funny. Just to watch Bruce Campbell being Bruce Campbell.
Yeah. That's a weird idea to do it that way.
And I don't even know if it's airing on. I saw it on Tubi, and I don't know if it's
That
airing on anything
sounds
else.
like it's a only Tubi thing.
It didn't. I don't think it said Tubi original or Tubi exclusive or anything. But I can't imagine. I don't know where else they would air this because it's not really. It doesn't seem good enough to for anybody to bother picking it up. Like, it's got some interesting moments, and I like the Bruce Campbell parts. And that's like, eh, it was good enough to watch as I was trying to go to like drift off enough to go to sleep. Yeah. But I wouldn't like. I don't know if I'd make time for it or anything. But Yeah, so I oh, what was the con you were at last weekend?
I went to the Fan Expo here in Chicago. It's formerly Wizard World.
Oh, okay. How was that?
It was Wizard Worldy. It was very cramped, and it felt like the old Wizard Worlds. You know, you've been to enough of those.
Yeah, is it still out by the airport?
It's a convention, the Stevenson Convention Center. It's way more of a celebrity show. I saw Eddie Furlong
Oh yeah.
and Matthew Lillard
Oh,
and Michael Biehn. I saw him.
I wonder how he's been being.
I've seen, I saw, yeah, I get it. I saw,
Sorry, it was so dumb I had to laugh at it myself. Go ahead.
it was, what do you call it? I saw the Soup Nazi.
From Seinfeld?
Yep.
That's somebody people want to see?
Guess so.
I mean, I'm sure he's a swell person or whatever, but actually, I'm not sure. I have no idea who he is. I just remember the character.
And the lawyer on Seinfeld, he was there. The one who was like, he's based on the real guy, OJ's lawyer.
Oh, okay.
He was there, and it was a fun time all around.
Any comic folk you haven't seen in a while?
Chris Burnham. Saw Chris Burnham.
How's he doing?
Okay. Being a dad is tough, apparently.
I imagine, especially at first, a lot of sleepless nights, from what I understand.
Yeah. Well, they're 35 now, so.
He's that young?
His kids are 35, yeah.
Oh! Sorry, yeah. I wasn't getting it.
Yeah. You never do. You're like my wife. My wife, Julie, never gets my jokes either. And I'm like, I'm not explaining it to you.
Well, yeah, I mean, a proper joke shouldn't need an explanation, right?
Exactly. That's what I say.
Which means that you're not telling proper jokes.
Oh, you're the devil.
Sorry. Not sorry.
Yep. 39? Okay, let's see how many I've got done.
Gosh.
So I have, let me see here. I have 60. Oh, that's good. I have 60 out of 80 drawings.
Home stretch.
Yeah.
It's easy peasy from here on.
Yep. I've gotten better at drawing Joe Bob Briggs, too.
Oh, that's good. I'm working on this one thing where I have to do these custom tails. And rather than...
Is it shirt tails?
No. No, balloon tails. Wait, isn't that's an actual thing, balloon tails. I mean, not that's an actual media thing. Anyway, and this, it's like I have to draw them. It's not just making points and fiddling with the curves on the points. Because it was like a very, the creators wanted something.
You like doing that though, don't you?
Pretty specific. It's just weird because it's not how I normally handle them. So that it takes me a while to get back into them after I've been working on stuff where I do things the way I'm used to doing it.
Because
there's like a couple of extra steps I got to do to make these to the balloons and stuff. And it's like, it just throws me off for a little bit, you know, so it slows me down some until I get used to it again.
Mm-hmm.
But I think last night I figured out a way to automate part of it.
So automate it?
Well, because, okay, like, I lay the balloons down and get those all nice and, you know, situated around the text, and then I got to draw these things with a brush I made.
Mm-hmm.
So they keep it, and the reason I'm doing it this way is so that the tails keep a consistent size all the way through their travel.
Mm-hmm.
Because they want it like extra curls and stuff, like in the balloon path or in the tail path.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't want to have just like a round end, so I had to make a brush that would let me do this and still have sort of a pointy end.
Mm-hmm.
And which that wasn't a big deal. Like it was easy enough to make the brush, but the problem is that when you do that, then all the tails are all on top of the balloons that you just made.
Mm-hmm.
And their strokes, instead of being like fills with strokes outlining them. So like, you know, the center of it is their strokes instead of fills, basically. So part of the extra steps in the process is I have to send them all to back, expand the appearance to convert those to being objects with strokes outside of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to, and then after that I have to like meld them to the balloons and then like fix any little inconsistencies. And for some reason, even though these are maintaining the same thickness all the way through their travel, when mm-hmm. it actually gets to the balloon, optically they look like they pinch a little bit.
Mm.
So when I'm doing the thing where I actually make them a compound object, I have to fiddle with a point here and there to like expand them so that they don't look like they're pinching. Really weird. I don't really understand why it's doing that optically, but
You should probably give up.
it's just, and you know, I mean, all that's compared to like when I make a regular tail, it's 3 points and some curve handles that I fiddle around with to get it to go where I want it to go, you know. And that's all pretty easy, but this is like, yeah, jumping through steps. So, plus there's a lot of, because I'm not quite used to doing it, there's a lot of, ah, oh, shit, that don't look great. Control Z. Like,
Can I take a second and come back?
sure.
I'll be right back.
All right, felt like I was eavesdropping.
Well, yeah. What were they saying about me?
You're swell.
No.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I think you're a great guy.
I don't believe you.
Well, they didn't actually talk about you at all.
Okay, good.
So yeah, tell me something good.
I don't know if I know anything good. I'm working on this neat little job that's not really little and kind of being treated disrespectfully,
Oh.
but it's a job.
Yeah.
What else is there?
I
Don't know.
don't know. Why do you think we forget things that we like, or that we've liked in the past? Like, we don't stop liking them, we just kind of forget about them.
I guess I kind of need some context, but I would say you have different things that you're more interested in. People are changing and evolving.
Right, but then, okay, to put that into context, do you remember Venga Boys?
Yes.
That boom, boom, boom song?
Yes.
I liked that song.
Okay.
I had completely forgotten about that song until I stumbled across it looking for something else.
Okay.
So I listened to it again, and I'm like, I still like this song. So
Okay.
why haven't I listened to it in 20 years or something?
I don't know.
I think I was just trying to puzzle that one out. I mean, there's no like great answer here. I just, it just seems weird to me. It's like because I understand the mechanics. I think anyway. I think I understand the brain mechanics of why we forget things we don't like.
Yes.
Because why? It's sort of like a safety valve or something
Yeah.
mentally. But like, why is hasn't there? I don't think it's a case of room. It's not like I've been so busy I couldn't pop that song into some sort of rotation, or something every now and then.
Don't know, man. Maybe it your brain trying to tell you that you don't actually like it.
Maybe, but then, I mean, out of the blue, I heard it again and I did like it. So it was like, I didn't go looking for it or anything, it just sort of happened. But, because I started thinking about stuff like, I used to, in my teens and early 20s, and then I listened to a lot of thrash metal. And, like, some of it I understand why I don't really like it now. Because it just appealed to a certain, like, mindset I was in at the time or whatever. And when I listen to it now, I'm just like, eh.
Yeah, sure. I'm like that with a lot of music.
But, like, if I pop in, I don't know, like, an Anthrax album now or something like that, I'm like, this is still pretty cool. This rocks, But at the same time, it's just sort of like, I don't know, I part of it, I think, with bands like that is that back then I listened to them so much because I had such a limited choice of music. I was limited by what I could afford, or what my friends had. So I listened to a lot of the same stuff for a number of years, over and over. Maybe that's part of it. There's so much more stuff now.
You saying you listen to the music you listen to because you are poor?
No, I'm saying I had a limited amount of music I could listen to because I didn't have a lot of money to buy new cassettes or anything. Like
Oh, okay.
I can only acquire X amount of music, where like now I can, punch up YouTube or something if I want to hear something that I don't have. And so maybe that's part of it, is just there's been such an inrush of new stuff that some of the other stuff gets pushed out of my awareness. Maybe that, I mean, that makes sense, right? Like,
Sure, to a certain extent.
just,
Maybe not.
it's just a weird thing. I don't really like sweet stuff anymore.
You are just rambling.
Well, give me something to focus on.
No, I like it. It's funny.
Okay, so like in a similar sort of situation, like there are things I cannot stand to eat that both my parents really like, right?
Okay.
But wouldn't you think that like if both of my parents have the, taste receptors that enjoy this thing, why don't I?
I mean, you probably do.
But I don't
I
like
bet you could convince yourself to like it.
I hate carrots. I never liked carrots, man.
I don't either, but I bet you could.
I mean, I don't mind them if they're like in a blend, like with stew or something. But like just chomping down on a raw carrot, like ugh.
If there's a carrot near me, I will blow it up with my mind powers.
Your mind bullets? Sweet. But yeah, I know, it's just, it's like, I don't know.
You got a lot of problems, man.
I guess I do. Identity issues and stuff, man. I'm a nervous wreck. So I've been pulling a couple of late nights here and there. I'm not quite as cognitively functional as I should be, probably. I'm not completely up. My tank's not full, like kind of thing. I had to cut grass yesterday because it was like the last nice day before it gets really shitty again here, temperature-wise and stuff like that. And I had because of the work and stuff, I hadn't done either mine or my parents in a little while, so I had to do both of them yesterday. Which was a mistake because I am so sore right now. But
Do you pick when you cut their grass, or do they tell you when they need a cut?
no, I do. I just do it when I can.
Oh, no.
I try not to let it get too shaggy, but sometimes it does if I'm like super busy or something.
Okay. Do they know that you cut their grass? Or do they just come out and go, huh, grass cut again? That seems pretty cool.
They think it's just the wandering goats. I mean, we got neighborhood goats. They
That's
just
what
run
I
around.
thought. That's what I thought.
They're good because you don't even have to unlock your gate. They just hop over it. Goats are pretty spry like that. I've actually considered getting some sheep or a goat or something.
Why don't you?
Well, I haven't weighed like figured out whether like the effort and cost of taking care of live animals would be worth not having to cut the grass.
Good
Because,
point.
sheep are prone to a lot of diseases and stuff.
Are they? I didn't know
Yeah, they're actually kind of fragile, from what I understand anyway. There's lots of shit sheep can catch. Like, that's pretty, I think, sheep specific.
Sheep specific.
And then, if you don't know what you're doing, suddenly you're in deep sheep or sheep shit. I don't know.
Did you do all that just so you could say that?
No, it kind of was a spur of the moment thing. But anyway, so I wasn't like I've got an electric lawnmower, right? But it's a corded electric lawnmower, and I've been using that successfully for 7 years. I wasn't paying attention yesterday, and I ran over the cord, and it was kind of up on high grass, so it chopped it up. And then, but that the scary part of that was is that the live end, the part that the half that was still plugged into the socket, bounced back and hit me. And fortunately, it hit clothing, so it didn't make any kind of like grounding contact or anything. But it scared the shit out of me, man. I like jumped back 3 feet. And I spent the next like 2 minutes cursing loudly and picking up pieces of cord, like the lawnmower separated. But I'm like, man, this is dumb. I've been perfectly fine with this thing for so long, and then one day I'm not paying attention and I fuck it all up.
Why did you do that?
Because I shouldn't have been operating machinery.
You know, I've been saying that for years, but nobody listens to me.
That you shouldn't be operating machinery?
No, that you shouldn't be.
Hey, I'm pretty good with machines, mostly.
Don't know if that's true.
Well, it's perfectly true.
Welcome to the machine.
Yeah, exactly. Was there any heavy LA guns?
Heavy LA guns?
Yeah. The only LA guns I can think of off the top of my head is that Jane song.
No.
I mean, they were pretty much like Guns N' Roses analogs, right?
I mean, they were Guns N' Roses.
Well, the
It,
guitar player,
yeah,
yeah.
yeah, Guns N' Roses is a combination of two bands.
No. If I remember right, it was Tracy Guns was with Axl Rose and Guns N' Roses, and then he left, and that's when Slash came in.
I thought it was LA Guns and Hollywood Rose was the name of the two bands.
I think it was just because Axl and Guns were, and Tracy were in a band together that they called it Guns N' Roses. I think. I mean, from what I understand, it was Guns N' Roses when Tracy Guns was in it. And then LA Guns didn't happen until he left, from what I understand. I mean, I don't, maybe I'm getting the history all wrong. I don't know.
Guns N' Roses is an American hard rock band when local bands Hollywood Rose and LA Guns merged.
Oh, okay. So LA Guns predated Guns N' Roses.
Yes.
So I guess he just reformed it when he left?
My guess.
Huh. Okay. Well, you learned something.
Or in my case, you already knew it.
Okay.
Because I'm awesome. You can say I'm awesome.
I could.
But why don't you?
Because I don't want to give you a big head.
Oh, okay. Well, so you're doing it for me.
Yeah.
So.
You know it, man. But yeah, I've been having a bunch of like 80s power ballads stuck in my head lately. And I
You
was
want
th
me to beat them out of you?
and I was just thinking about LA Guns, and I'm like, for whatever reason, I never really got into them. Like
Yeah, I never did either.
I liked like Faster Pussycat, which I think is sort of in that same wheelhouse.
It is, sort of. It's definitely not the same band, but yes.
And like I liked, I don't know. Did I like Trickster? I don't think I liked Trickster.
Trickster's okay. There's nothing to them, though.
I can't remember if I liked them or not. I did like Dangerous Toys, which was sort of in that. And Tora Tora, I liked.
Straight out of Memphis.
Were they? I kept thinking
Yeah.
they were Texas, but Memphis makes sense.
Same thing.
But yeah, I don't know. I was just, it was one of those things where I remember them being active. I just never really got into them. They always seemed kind of like a cheap cult knockoff.
Who?
LA Guns.
You know what I was noticing this morning as I was driving to work is that the Cult is basically AC/DC with Jim Morrison singing.
Is it?
Yeah, their guitar sound and drums, it's very AC/DC, very basic rock, pentatonic.
I always just figured they were good because they had like that part of it was like that sleaze aspect kind of thing, sort of
The Cult?
like Wasp and stuff had, like the sort of sleaze rocky aspect.
The Cult.
Yeah.
I never got sleaze rock out of them.
And somehow they got associated with being vaguely gothic.
Yes,
I guess
that I
that was,
did.
I guess that was the look more than anything else.
Maybe.
Although, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Sanctuary could be kind of a goth rocky song, I guess. Because that's, I mean, that's one I remember hearing actually played in clubs, like goth clubs and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, for whatever reason, I had that Chicago song, like when Satara first started becoming the actual face of them. That
Which Chicago song?
Man, which one is that? Hard to say,
If you
I'm
leave
sorry.
me now? Oh, yeah.
Everybody leave a little time away. You know, no.
That's funny.
That one and that, was it REO Speedwagon? No, not REO Speedwagon. That one that starts off with the piano and it's like talking about being on the road. I don't know. That
Journey?
was that Journey?
Is that Faithfully by
Yeah.
Journey?
Forever yours faithfully. Dum 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 dum. Yeah, that one. And I'm, this one, I don't know if this one's a power ballad or not, but around the same time that all these songs, other songs kept popping up in my head. It was Starships, Find Your Way Back. Would that be a power ballad? Is that a power ballad?
I'd have to hear it again.
It's that one that's, you know, it's been such a long, long road.
I know.
Because it's got like the quiety parts and then it goes into the rocking part and it goes back into the, you know. It seems sort of power ballady to me.
Sounds like it.
Maybe it's not. And there was some Cinderella song that kept popping up too.
I don't know what you got till it's gone.
Not that one. Maybe I think it was something off the first album, Night Songs. I'm sure there was a power.
Nobody's Fool.
Maybe. Was that a power ballad? Would you call that a power ballad?
Kind of, yeah.
Probably. I really liked their first album.
I've come around to them. I didn't like them as much as when they were first came out, but I do like them.
I, that's another thing. I haven't listened to them in a long time either. And I'm pretty sure that if I popped in Night Songs, I'd like it again. Or like Tesla's Mechanical Resonance album. I'm pretty sure I'd probably like that one too if I popped it in. Okay, let's see if this handy band, handy, I can't even talk, man. This batch job for Tails that I made. Let's see if this works because I assigned it a shortcut key. It did not. Fuck.
No.
I recorded it and everything. Why didn't it work, Mike?
I don't know.
It was supposed to. Did I not? Oh man, I'm gonna have to. I'm gonna have to go back through the batch and look at it. Because if I can get this batch to work, that would really speed shit up. I wouldn't have to keep clicking through menus and crap to do what I need to do. It's that expand appearance thing. I don't think that worked when I tried to do it. Is that something that's a non-menu item that I can't actually put in a batch or put
I
in
don't
an
know.
action?
I don't know.
Mike, you're supposed to know everything about Adobe Illustrator actions, man.
I don't know anything about Adobe Illustrator. Illustrator. Ibid.
Must be a Canadian thing.
A Canada thing?
Canadian.
What does that mean?
Means people from Canada.
Oh.
I don't know, man. Anyway. So, what else has happened to you over the past month?
I don't know. Isn't this over? Aren't we done?
I don't know. I mean, got that big gap in there where you took a break, so we're still filling time.
Oh, yeah, I did have to pee, didn't I?
Yep. Should have gone before we left.
That's not my thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at the action now, and I can see that it did not record the expand appearance thing.
You want action tonight?
I do.
Satisfaction. All right.
I do. Indeed. Yeah, man. Yeah.
What?
I don't know. Just things. So it looks like C2E2 is in April again next year.
When was it this year?
Wasn't it April, May, something like that? But it,
Maybe.
yeah, I got a notice for ticket pre-sales or something like that. It
Okay.
says it's April 11th through whatever.
You can probably throw that away.
I'll probably buy a ticket. I've been buying tickets every year anyway, in the hopes that I'll actually get to make it.
Hmm.
I mean, to be, I actually do. When I buy the tickets, I intend on going. It's just things haven't ever worked out the past couple of years. But I saw that in early 2025, Frank Black's going to be doing a tour with the band that recorded Teenager of the Year, and he's playing the whole album. And he's doing two nights at the Metro. In January, I think. January or February. And it surprises me is that tickets are pretty affordable. Like, I mean, I know the Metro is not like a huge place. It's but I mean, it's a good sized venue. And I think the tickets, like if you bought them off Frank Black, well, I was looking through Frank Black's site. I can't remember where that redirected me to. Probably one of the tickets vendors. But it, the tickets were only like $25 or $30. I was like, that seems, you know, actually kind of cheap compared to when I've looked up tickets for other stuff lately. Like, man, like, okay, so I wrestling shows travel. And last time SmackDown was in Cincinnati, or was coming to Cincinnati, I looked up the tickets because I'm like, oh, you know, if they're cheap enough, maybe this would be fun to go to. It was Friday night.
I'm going to guess they weren't cheap enough.
Not even the nosebleed seats, man. Like,
and I'm how like, much?
I think the nosebleeds were still close to $100.
Wow.
Somewhere like maybe 75 to 100, somewhere in there. And I'm like, if you're that high up looking at a tiny ring way down there, it's like you're going to be looking more at the screens than that. I'm like, I might as well just stay home and watch it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But like, and then like anywhere, like if you get down on the floor or anything, and they got like $400 and stuff like that. And I'm like, what? You know? But the thing that surprises me is that they've been on a roll where they're continually selling these stadiums out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, geez, man, that's got to be some major bank for that organization. Between that and I guess like, well, they don't have pay-per-views anymore, so they don't get a cut of that stuff, but they get a cut of like the licensing for, you know, having their shows on Peacock and on like some of the network channels and stuff.
Right.
Which they're moving off a network.
Yeah, I knew that.
But in October, they're bringing NXT to Network, and I think that's its Network debut.
Uh-oh.
So you are technically still going to be able to watch, but it's not Major League, Big-time wrestling, I guess it's the...
Big-time wrestling.
BT Dubs, babe.
BT Dubs?
Big-time wrestling.
I'm looking for some Hawaiian print in my Clip Studio assets. Can you find that for me?
I'm still on the Clip Studio that I have, still the old version. Anyway, I don't know. Have you moved up to, what is it, 3 now or something?
3?
Or is it?
Oh, yeah, I guess.
Or is it 2 and I'm stuck on 1? I never upgraded when they made their major version upgrade. Insert menu item. That's what I need to do. Oh. Select a menu item using the mouse or type partial name. Okay, so menu item object. Expand appearance. Boom! I fixed my action, Mike.
You did it. I'm proud of you.
So now it sends the back, expands appearance, and applies the same brush stroke as the balloons.
Look at you. You're like a pro.
It's like people pay me to do this.
I don't know why.
Can you believe that?
No.
I like the fact that I'm still learning stuff. It's like I don't know everything.
I would prefer to know everything.
I get like a little tickle out of stuff. Like there's a new thing. I mean, they didn't add this specifically for comic people, but it's a new feature that's been in the past couple of years in Illustrator. Where like, okay, so you know if you've got, it's called Intertwine. So you know if you've got like a bunch of balloons and you have to overlap them and stuff because like you don't have the space to not overlap them because some writer decided he was going to fill the entire panel with back and forth dialogue or something and each person had like 10 balloons apiece. Well, the old way of doing that, or at least the old way I had would have had to deal with that, would have been to use the point tool and carefully go around the balloons to make them overlap back in like in a descending order instead of one set of balloons always being on top of the other, so that you get a progression of, you know, how the balloons go. And some people like to do that, like you're laying down cards where each successive balloon is on top of the previous one. I do it the other way, where each one's underneath, where it's like a descending order. But that's just a personal preference. But so they've introduced this thing called intertwine that totally makes this easy to do without having to do this like custom masking. It's like you activate the tool and then you use your on-screen thing to circle the spot where you want it to overlap differently than it was before, and it just like automatically does it.
Automagically.
It's not even AI, it's just some sort of like nice bit of programming.
Look at you saying automagically.
Auto magic. But it's like, you know, when I find things like that, I'm like, oh, neat. I get a little, like, you know, giggle out of it.
You get a giggle?
I get a giggle. It's like when I found out that, like, okay, so normally spacebar is the hand tool, so you can grab the canvas and move around. But you can't use that if you've got text selected, because that would just space out whatever text you got selected, right? And for the longest time, I didn't know that you could just hold Alt and then you get your hand if you've got text selected. And when I found that out, I was like, holy shit, this just makes my whole world easier. And I suppose I could sit down and like read an Illustrator manual or something. But I mostly don't. I figure stuff out as I need to know it. It's just surprising I've gotten as far as I have.
I
Shut
would
up.
agree. Was funny. Shut up. Shut up, you shutting up.
Yeah, man.
Shut up, you.
Had a weird discussion, comic related discussion with my dad a week or two ago, where
About.
he brought up how he likes the what's the Marvel movies with the Suicide Squad?
Those aren't Marvel movies.
DC movies, sorry. But he brought up how he likes that, and even to an extent, well, he likes the second one better, which I think is pretty common opinion.
Yes.
But because he brought up how much he laughed at the beach scene towards the beginning, and then to a lesser extent, he likes the Harley Quinn movies,
Sure.
and so I'm like, well, cool, you're expressing an interest in things that are like in my field, kind of thing. You know, that's cool. At least tangentially. I mean, that's not like I'm in movies and I don't work for DC, but you know, you get the point. It's some sort of common interest between me and my father's. I appreciate it at any time. But then I'm like, yeah, I'm glad you're liking these, but and I'm like, I got kind of a philosophical problem with these movies because
Really?
I don't making psychopathic murderers like sympathetic just bugs me. Because they treat them like the heroes, and what's her name, Waller? They treat her like she's a bad guy for making them do this crap, you know? And I'm like, dude, she's at least making psychopathic murderers useful for something. Like, besides just killing people that they shouldn't be killing. Even though they do kill people that they shouldn't be killing in that movie anyway, but.
They kill a lot of people.
Yeah. And, you know, I. So we started going back and forth on this, and I'm like, well, look, I'm not telling you you shouldn't like the movies, because I enjoyed the movies, but I'm like, I got a problem with the characters. Like, and it was, for some reason, though, it was a hole I couldn't dig myself out of, because I didn't know how to explain it. Because it's like, I mean, I think they're entertaining movies and whatever, it's just I got a basic problem with how the characters are treated, I guess. I don't know. But it turned into just this weird, awkward conversation, and I should have just not said anything and said, oh, I'm glad you like those. Like, it was one of those teaching moments, like, you know, you should learn to keep your mouth shut sometimes.
Yeah, well, you should a lot of the time.
Probably. I always think back to that whole Meet B incident.
The what?
Meet B? Remember they did that cover of Transformers, and I was making fun of it, and then they contacted us?
Oh, that was funny.
That was back in like 05, I think, or 06,
Yes.
something like that. Hey, 20-year callback. Well, 19-year callback.
I forgot all about that.
And then they even
Well,
sent
that's what they get for listening.
and then they even sent a CD. I remember. But that was one, another teaching moment where I was like, you know what? I shouldn't try to be funny by just being an asshole. I should just not be an asshole. Like,
I should probably listen to that
I mean, that seems like a pretty solid life choice to not be an asshole.
It is, but I definitely haven't got it through my thick head.
But yeah, I mean, just sometimes don't say the things you're thinking.
Good point.
It's like those, but and then there's people that's like, I'm just calling it like it is. I'm like, no, you're not. You're just being a dick. Like,
I'm just saying it how it is.
I'm just saying what everybody's thinking. Well, not everybody's really thinking that. And even if they are, you don't have to say it. Like, yeah, stuff like that.
True.
It's like when you're. Kooky aunt gives you a weirdo piece of clothing as a gift. You don't throw it back in her face and say, this is ugly. You just say, thank you. And you put it in a closet and never look at it again. Unless you have to dig it out for a visit.
You haven't met my brother.
Oh, was he like that?
Yeah.
I
My
mean,
brother loved to complain about stuff that you give him.
that's something you do when you're like single digit ages, but that's not really something that, an adult should be.
Teenager.
An adult should be doing, No, I think even by the time I was a teenager, I learned not to like, because I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. The intent was nice.
Yeah.
Because like my grandma had this habit for a while. She kept giving me padded flannel shirts.
Padded flannel shirt?
Yeah, the kind that were like where they were sort
What's
of.
a padded flannel shirt?
Well, not quite like a regular flannel shirt, but not quite a jacket either, somewhere in between that. Where they were,
Oh, I know what you're saying.
they had
I
like
had
that
one of those.
inner nylon lining and like a little bit of insulation, but they were basically like a heavy shirt,
Yeah.
They weren't quite heavy enough to be a jacket or coat or anything.
Yeah.
But she like kept giving them to me. Like, I'm like, well, I've got a bunch of them already, but thanks,
Yeah.
Maybe if you just give me a regular flannel shirt instead, they're a little more useful. Like, because that was the thing with those things that are not one thing or another is that they're not really good at being either one of them. Because they were.
Didn't like it? You didn't like it?
I didn't like that they were padded because it's like they're kind of too thick to wear under another coat. But they weren't really thick enough to like ward off much cold either,
Yeah, it is not a cold weather jacket. It's like an in-between weather jacket.
Yeah, it's like having a windbreaker. Like
It's a
windbreakers.
little better than a windbreaker.
I always thought windbreakers were pretty useless.
Windbreakers are only warm when it's hot outside.
Right, and then they're useless. Like, I mean, yeah, these shirts are better than windbreakers, but yeah. Anyway, but it was just like one of those things where it's, you just say thanks and move on.
Yes.
So, thanks, Mike. I don't know what for, though.
Yeah, that's what most people say to me.
Yeah. It's just one of those things, man.
Just one of those days.
One of those days. The world has turned and left me here.
That's how I feel.
Pretty much, yeah. It's funny when you watch. Okay, so I was pulling up videos on YouTube when I was stuck in that power ballot phase for a minute there. And I broke the cardinal rule and I started reading the comments. And one of them I was watching was for. I think this one broke out in that LA Guns video, the Jane one. But it was, I started into a generational, like, flame war kind of thing.
Generational.
Well, where like somebody makes a comment like the 80s were the best decade, man, kind of thing.
Oh, God.
And then somebody was like exact or the comment they made was the 80s were the best decade when men were men and women were women. And then somebody popped in with a, like, what do you mean? kind of thing question. And then people piled on that person saying, well, if you don't get it, you'll never know, or kind of thing, you know. But then somebody did clarify it and say, exactly what are you talking about? Like, there are, I looked outside just a minute ago and there are still women and men out there. And then it just turned into this big, like, you know, everybody thinks their own or their own, when they grew up, their own decade is like the best decade. And then other people are arguing, it's because it was the best, you know, and I'm like, I got sucked down a comment hole. And I felt like I lost a few brain cells by the time I got done or pulled myself out of it.
Why did you look at it?
Like I said, man, I don't know. I just broke the cardinal rule. I shouldn't have done it. Do not read comments. It's like, do not feed the bears. In fact,
yeah.
You know, I've made that mistake too.
Oh, we all know.
Yeah. But I'm still here to talk about it, so it worked out all right for me.
Unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, that's not nice.
It was mean.
That stings.
It was real mean. Yeah.
That stings a bit, man.
I'm sorry. You know I don't mean it.
Okay.
Except that I do.
Yeah. Sorry.
Because I'm the worst. I'm the worst.
You are the worst. The bratwurst. The bratwurst.
The bratwurst. It's bratwurst summer.
Mmm. Bratwurst is good in the summer. That's good in the winter, too, though. And the fall.
It's
pretty good in the spring, too. Bratwurst is just pretty good, man. Don't get me started on Mets, though.
Mets?
Yeah. Mettwurst.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
Wait a minute. Am I mixing? Sometimes I mix those up. Which one's the gray ones?
I have no idea.
I think that's Mettwurst, is the gray ones. But, yeah. Anyway. Oops. I hit save on the wrong window. But at least I'm hitting save. Do you remember when programs didn't have a autosave function?
Yeah.
I mean, Clip Studio has got one built in, right? It saves every so often.
Yes, it does.
I think most art things do nowadays.
Yes, but it's always surprising to me because I am used to it just going off and not saving my shit for me.
Yeah. I remember it's like that was such a thing. You had to get it drilled into your head. Control S like every couple of steps kind of thing.
Yeah. I still lose stuff.
Yeah.
So I had to draw.
And like back in the days when you only had like a couple of undos.
Oh, yeah.
I think you can do up to like 200 redos in Illustrator now. So like you can recover. Because I still do this, which is really dumb. But sometimes I forget, because like when I'm moving to a new page, I don't open up a new blank page and start from scratch. I just take the one I'm on and do a save as and increment the number, right? But sometimes I forget to do that, and I don't do that number incremental number. And so I save over the page I had just gotten finished, and I realize I did that, and I'm like, well, fuck. But now, for the most part, unless it's like a crazy heavy page, if I do that, I can just step back to where it was still the other page and save it, you know, save it again, but still have the other page saved so I didn't lose any work, essentially is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But like back in the day when there weren't a lot of undos, like you couldn't get away with that either.
Yeah.
This is the olds talk about tech.
Good. We are the olds.
We are the olds now.
We are definitely old.
It's not as bad as I thought it would be. I was fully prepared to be like a lot worse off at this age. Well, I mean, for a long time I didn't even think I'd be alive at this age. But
would you like me to read an email?
Do you have an email?
I have an email.
Well, then let's read an email, Mike.
I have an email from Henrik from Denmark.
Hello, Henrik from Denmark.
He says, "Hi, Crank, Mike, and other nice people." He says, "I hope summer has been treating you well. Summer in Denmark has been relatively cool with lots of rain, which has not stopped the mosquitoes from ruining my sleep." That sucks. I hate that. One of my least favorite things about camping.
Yeah.
Since you guys...
the last time I camped. You and Julie still go, do that, right?
No, I do not camp. I have not camped since I was in my early 20s.
Oh.
Since you guys often watch old TV shows in the background while working, I wanted to give a video recommendation. It's YouTuber Jenny Nicholson and her 4-hour video on the now-canceled Star Wars Hotel. I have heard about this. This is pretty famous.
Oh, that was one of the things they talked about on that Bruce Campbell thing.
Yeah, and I haven't seen it, but they've watched it all here. The video is about how Jenny, a big Star Wars fan, and her sister paid $3,000 per person for a 2-night stay, and how pretty much everything in the experience went wrong. 4 hours sounds like a long time for a YouTube video, but it flies by. Yeah, I've heard that about that. It's interesting because me and John, since they announced that thing before it was even built, we were like, let's go to that. That sounds awesome.
Right.
And then to hear the whole story about how it was the worst thing ever,
There was supposed to
and
be
we were disappointed.
like part of the script or whatever is like the ship gets invaded and stuff and
Oh yeah, there's all kinds of problems with the live action role playing of it all.
Plus
He
apparently the
sends a li-
food was really weird.
yeah, he gives a link to it, and then he says that's it. And so go check out Jenny on not our Jenny, but not either of our Jennies, but it's on YouTube.
Jenny from the
It's
block.
Jenny Nicholson at the Galactic Star Cruiser. Just look it up.
Yeah.
Yorb. But that's it.
Well, thanks for the rec. But yeah, that was one of the things I never knew about that thing either until I saw it on that TV show.
Yeah. It is a spectacular failure.
I mean, they've already shut that whole operation down, right?
Yeah.
Or that whatever. It's not a ride. What would you call it? A hotel experience?
Yeah. It's a hotel experience is a good way of putting it.
An attraction?
An attraction.
Yeah, it lasted like a year and a half, maybe, I think, something like that. It seemed like a really cool idea, though. Like, if it didn't have all those problems and stuff. An immersive vacation destination.
An immersive vacation destination. That'll work out.
If they could do something like. Did you ever go to Disney World? Like when you were a
Yeah,
kid?
I've been to both. I've been to both.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've never been. Well, yeah, I've never been to Disneyland because I've never been. The only place in California I've ever been was San Diego. But, yeah, I went down to, when I was a kid, I went down there a couple times, and they still had the 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea operational. And the whole thing, like, if you look at how it works, like, you're just like, it doesn't seem all that impressive if you just look at it from, like, above or something like that and see how it works. But the ride itself was actually pretty cool. It was leaky and old by the time I got to it,
Yeah, you don't really go under the water that much.
It
It's
just basically
just
just covers the window, a little bit above the windows. But it looks like
I
they.
noticed that when I was a kid.
But it still looked really cool the way they had it all set up and stuff,
Yeah.
But like, if they could do something like that, that'd be kind of cool, like an underwater vacation destination, immersive. I guess that would literally be an immersive vacation destination.
I mean, they have hotels underwater.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I'm just having now I'm
Funny.
having
I mean,
images.
not at Disney World, but yeah.
Now I'm having images though of the theme park and Jaws 3D. Just everything going wrong. And I guess the stakes would be a lot higher at that point if you're underwater and stuff. But anyway, I don't know. I guess we're done. I don't.
Yeah, I need to get this done.
Yeah, I gotta get back to work on these tails. My batch still isn't quite not my batch. My action still isn't quite working right on the
Oh,
mic.
so let's not talk about your batch.
What's up, batch? No? Not good?
No,
Okay.
I don't think that's gonna work, no.
All right. Well, in that case, you can reach us at crankcast.com and crankcast at gmail.com, and Mike's website is ihatemike.com, and yeah, I don't know. Take care. We'll see you Next time? I'm not going to say next week anymore. I'm going to say next time.
Yeah, we'll try.
And have a good weekend.
Yes.
All right. Goodbye.
Goodbye.